This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome again to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me live outside of Craven Cottage is the Fulham shadow, Emilio Danello. He is actually looks like a shadow tonight. But, you know, again, listen, Emilio, I'm not going to waste any time. It's a 1-1 draw. We talked about this last night. I said to you before we went live that what Rob Wilson said to us, if it's a draw, it won't matter how it became a draw.
Yeah.
So for me, coming from behind, putting on all that pressure in the end, I think it's a valuable point, Emilio. I think they earned the point.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can look at it whatever way you want. They're still top of the league. And I'll take the point, Emilio. I want to get your initial thoughts of what you watched.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It was the intriguing game that we were talking about yesterday. But you know what? We almost got Parker Bald tonight. But you said it there. We're top of the league still. So, Scott Parker, go back to your home in Bournemouth and we'll see you maybe in a few seasons' time when if you ever get promoted in the Premier League. But overall, you know what? I'll take the draw after going a goal down. You know, yeah. We had to fight a very strong Bournemouth defender. We said it. We called out stats last night. They're the joint lowest conceders of goal in this division. And you see why. That first half,
They were tough, man.
They defended. They defended us very, very well. Cahill was immense in their defence. You know, yep. The double save or double block from Cook.
Cook. Yeah, unbelievable.
All that game reminded me was just of what we had to witness for two seasons under Parker. You know, literally, it just felt the reverse of that. You know, we had to deal with that for two seasons.
Right.
Watching us not creating many opportunities, trying to find those moments to score. You then get your noses in front like they did straight in the second half. You know, and they hung on, they dug deep, they fouled, they wasted time. We were beneficiaries of that for two seasons.
Right.
And then it just felt like the Arsenal game away last season. We hung on, chance after chance, and we suddenly succumbed to Arsenal in the injury time. That's what it felt like, but on the receiving end tonight.
Yeah.
They kept defending astutely, but it just needed a bit of quality, and it just needed that moment. But overall, not the end of the world. We're still top of the league, as I mentioned. We're still 3 wins away from the next team below Bournemouth. So, could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse, Emilio. And listen, I have a feeling how this is going to be portrayed in the press.
Mm.
And it is going to be a Scott Parker love fest. And listen, before I say anything, full credit, like you mentioned, to Bournemouth. That first half was a really well-played first half. Both teams, I thought, played very well.
Very open game.
They had their chances. Fulham had their chances. It's 0-0 at the half, Emilio. But let's just talk about the first half, because you said something to me that, you know what? After you said that, I do agree with you. It was 0-0 at the half, and they had some really good opportunities. Mm. And honestly, they were pretty dangerous at times.
Yes.
And If I'm being completely honest, I know Fulham had the opportunity to score. But defensively, I'm just talking about the first half. I think Bournemouth were more solid than Fulham, Emilio.
Yeah, that's what we're saying off air. For me, if there was 5 equivalent chances for both teams, we were more
just
liable.
Just in the first half.
In that first half, I thought, you know, the Solanke header early on should have scored. And then there was a shot just gone wide of the post. And those were good chances, you know, but we gave them the opportunity for those chances, whereas we had to battle and really fight for those chances, and they blocked very, very well. That was the difference. I just thought Cahill in particular was immense in that defence. He showed his experience, his international qualities there, and that's why they've conceded just as few goals as we are. So, right, you know, we had to work harder to create chances, is probably my point, to compared to Bournemouth in the first half. We gave them more space, and their chances maybe slightly more clear-cut. But overall, right, I think we're slightly, you know, better quality in that first half. But, you know, we just, you know, I thought 0-0 was broadly a fair result at half-time. It was an open game, though, more open than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it really was, Emilio. And I wasn't expecting it to be that open, but in the early stages of this match, it was going back and forth.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they had their opportunities, like you talked about with Solanke. But Fulham had their opportunities as well with Niskanen, Cabano. And then, honestly, I want to talk about this. We're going to talk about a controversial situation in just a second. But to me, Emilio, what we're talking about in the first half, this epitomized what Fulham were dealing with, because they were creating opportunities. But Steve Cook, two blocks, double blocks.
Yeah, quality. Yeah.
You know, again, it was just difficult. They were making it difficult for Fulham. And at the half, I'm thinking, let's just get to the half, regroup, and see what happens in the second half. But before we talk about the second half, I'm going to just share this with everyone. And again, I'm watching a broadcast, and the announcer said if this division had VAR, Fulham would have been awarded a penalty. This is what happened with Harry Wilson in the box. There were a couple of opportunities that you could talk about with penalties, but this one was legit. And Solanke did clip him slightly, but Emilio, I know you probably didn't get the greatest view of this, but you know, when we're talking about the ref and we're talking about me complaining about why I want VAR, it's situations like this, Emilio, because I truly believe Fulham would have been awarded a penalty here, but they weren't. What did you see?
Yeah, there was a, you know, there's a lot of, all we kept saying is, look, was it a penalty or not? It was on the wrong side of the pitch. And we were always saying we'd like to see the replay again. Obviously, I haven't seen the replay, but there was a lot of the fans nearer to the incident were definitely claiming a penalty. You know, from a distance, it looked maybe a little bit soft. You know, did Wilson go down a little bit too easy? But clearly, if we're saying the replays are suggesting it was a penalty, you know, it's moments like that that turn the game for better or for worse. And I think, like you said, VAR will come into the Championship probably next season or the season after. So, but it's a shame that we didn't get the penalty. But I'm also looking at the incident when they should have, their player maybe should have got a red card early on the foul of one of our players. You look at those.
That's
moments,
right.
I thought referee let them get away with murder in that first half. You know, the amount of fouls that got no yellow cards. There was one.
Emilio, they had a strategy here. They had a strategy. They were going to try to beat us up. And honestly, that's kind of what they were doing. And listen, they played the match. And I'm glad that we're talking about the ref. I don't like to complain too much about the ref, but teams play the way that it's being called. If they're getting away with it, they're going to keep doing it. Yes, they're getting yellow cards, but there was a strategy here, Emilio.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and we, like I said, we were the beneficiaries of that strategy for two seasons. You know, we had to play to our, you know, we had limitations the last couple of years with the squad, especially in the Premier League last year. And Scott Parker, you know, did his best, you know, with the players that he had. You know, he played a particular system, and, you know, we had to witness that week in, week out. So we know what it's like to be on the receiving end of that. And you know, then he played to their strengths, and he tried to disrupt play, slow the game down. Exactly what we saw for two seasons. So, was I surprised? No, I wasn't. But the fact that they got their noses in front in the second half, and that was well created, and
yes, it was
straight from the training ground.
Yes,
straight from the training ground.
And we're going to talk about that in a second. But before we do, I'm going to share some comments because we're going to talk. We just were talking about the controversial decision here. Definite penalty from Colin Fraser. I'm just going to keep sharing these. Chris Pelletier says, no doubt we would have been awarded to penalties with VAR. Okay. Russ, you are so right. You know, I'll take that. Colin Fraser also, Smith red card with VAR too.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And this is from Steve Turner. Every roughing decision went against us. The penalty, which was stonewall, fouls, throw-ins, corners, 50-50s, literally every decision. You know what, Emilio? I don't like to go down this route. Steve actually might be right, though.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, especially in that first half. You look at how many fouls were yellow card fouls, and they got told was a little warning, and we got nothing off the back of it. Joe Bryan makes a foul in the second half, yellow card. Sorry, yellow card. It's just the inconsistency. That's what frustrates me with refereeing here. It's this division is just not good enough.
Yeah. I totally agree.
I don't know
if
Steve Lidyard's watching, but you know, get your badges quickly. We need you to start the refereeing in a championship.
Okay, and I'm just going to share a couple more comments. Jake says, would have been a penalty in the prem. I you know, and again, I'm just mentioning this because they were talking about it on the broadcast. All right, Emilio, let's switch to the second half. And like I mentioned, I was saying to myself, just get to halftime and then be ready for the second half to go. And like you mentioned, and again, let's give full credit to Scott Parker and Bournemouth. This is something that they obviously were ready to do, and they were ready to go from the beginning kickoff of the second half. And they score, I want to say, a very well-crafted goal.
Yeah.
So before I could even have the words come out of my mouth of being upset, they had scored. So you're there. How did you view this?
Yeah, just saying something well-crafted, straight from the training ground. You know, again, you haven't even got a chance to regroup as a team. You know, from the kickoff, one pass, cross, bang, back of the net. So great finish from Solanke.
Yes, it was.
You know, that was, if one of our strikers scored from that, you know, we'd be applauding them. But,
yes.
You know, Bournemouth came out second half with more intent. That first 10, 15 minutes, even after they scored the first goal, we're on the back foot for that first 10, 15 minutes. You know, you know, it was very unlike Parker. I would have thought he would have sat back. Okay, they're wasting time. They did that from the moment they scored that goal. But thereafter, for the 10, 15 minutes, we sort of offered very little. We couldn't get a stranglehold of the ball. Passes were going misplaced. And they were pressing us and pushing us back and back and back. And Seri was getting pressed deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, the only criticism I'll say is I would like to have seen Kearney come on maybe 10 minutes earlier. Yep. Make some changes a little bit earlier. And, you know, but overall, the subs made the change, made the difference, because obviously the Bournemouth players were tiring. But overall, you know, if that was us who crafted that goal, we'd be applauding it. So, you know, give Scott Parker credit. He got one on us on that goal.
He absolutely did, Emilio. But I'm glad that you talked about this, because, again, we'll talk about the goal coming up from Tosin, okay, which was fantastic. But the substitutions, I was thinking to myself, why not do it in the 60th minute? But he did it a little bit later. And also, I want to share this comment because I actually agree with this. And I'm just looking for it, so just bear with me. But it was a comment talking about our fullbacks, because I don't think our fullbacks were that great. Odoi, I thought, was okay, but I don't think they offered us enough, Emilio. You know, and again, there was a few good crosses from Joe Bryan, but for me, I wanted to see Kenny Tete in this match. Maybe I'm wrong.
Really? I don't know. Strangely, I thought Dennis had a bloody good game. I thought he defended extremely well. I thought, you know, he was our best defender tonight. Joe Bryan.
He was.
I thought after he picked up that yellow card, you know, he got called out a few times in the first half, Joe Bryan, playing far too narrow. And their fullback was getting a lot of space. I was a little bit concerned in that first half when Bryan was called out of position a few times. But he got a couple of good crosses. But I agree with you. Joe Bryan offered very little second half. Didn't push up enough. But Dennis was up for it. He was up for the challenge. He was defended, you know, stout. I thought he was one of our best players. I thought just didn't do much wrong tonight. Dennis,
no, I'm not saying that. No, listen, I'm totally with you. But against this opponent, I was thinking you need crosses in the box, Emilio.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with on Kenny Tete. I understand your point, because full credit to Dennis Odoi. He actually defended very well.
Yeah.
But I thought that at times we needed those crosses from the right-hand side. That's just not Dennis's game.
And I think also Bournemouth's tactics as well. I think the way Park had them set up sort of restricted us pushing forward. I thought their tactics and their setup sort of restricted that full, you know, crossing from our fullback. So I think a lot of the play was through the middle. I think Cabano, you know, we haven't mentioned him tonight, but that first half was absolutely immense. I think he had two shots going in the bottom of the corner. Their keeper made some good saves, and I think their keeper kept them in the game as well. Made some strong, you know, some solid saves throughout.
He did. I'm going to share this comment, and again, I don't know if I agree with this or not. I mean, a Doi fan, but would have Tete stopped that goal? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so. To be honest, I don't think as a criticism, we weren't really. I'd say we literally just got into the pits, ready for the start of the second half, and suddenly nobody expected that. I think any team would have struggled to stop that goal. And Solanke, you know, did you know, that's the reason why he's the second top scorer in the division.
Right, right. Here's the comment from Colin Fraser that I wanted to share with you. Yeah. We had no attacking threat from our fullbacks.
Yeah,
that's kind of where true. That's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah, that's true.
With
no,
this,
I don't disagree with
Emilio.
That,
nothing I've against Dennis, but he doesn't really offer that.
Yeah, and I'd probably on the flip side, I'd say credit to Bournemouth for setting themselves up so they restricted us pushing upwards. You look at the way they were set up, the formation. There wasn't that opportunity. Joe Bryan was constantly in his own half. You know, how many crosses did he have? I don't think it's a criticism of Fulham. I think Parker got one on us in terms of setup and tactics.
Okay. So for you, it had more to do with how Bournemouth set up.
Yeah, and that's for me. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And fair. That's completely fair. That's why we do this show, my friend. Mm. Okay. Let's now talk about the equalizer. And what's interesting about this is, again, the broadcast I was watching was, as the match kept going, was glowingly talking about Bournemouth, glowingly, and how Fulham didn't have the answers, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
it
I can
kept
imagine.
Going and going and going. Well, that changed a great deal. The tone changed a great deal when Tosin scores. So just describe the atmosphere at Craven Cottage when Tosin gets the equalizer, yeah. Emilio.
It felt it was coming. You know, we started. You know,
it was coming. Yeah, it was it coming. Absolutely
the
was.
Substitutes
coming.
Were made a difference. You know, yes. Bobby Reid added a lot more energy. You know, I called it 10 minutes before that, you know, Seri to come off for Kearney and Carvalho to come off for Bobby Reid. Carvalho was very quiet, to be honest. He had that sort of chance in the first half, but Cook, you know, did immensely to save that and block the shot. But Carvalho wasn't really in the game tonight. So it was the right decision from Silva. Maybe he should have done it 10 minutes earlier, but
right. Overall,
the right substitutions.
I agree with you.
We called it out and it made a difference. And we were knocking on the door. It was
yes. Coming,
you know, half chances. There was a Cabana shot. I think there was a loose ball. The Cabana shot wide when he probably should have done better. Wilson was getting a little bit more space on the right. His link-up play with Bobby Reid was good. It was quick. Added a bit more. Sorry, that's the beauty of the Fulham shadow doing it in the street. All these ambulances going by. Yeah, so overall, we were knocking on the door and it was coming. And to be honest, it was a great cross into the box. And, you know, Tosin rose above everyone and knocked in the back of the net, and the atmosphere in the ground, you can imagine, suddenly it goes from expectations and hope, and we're all saying the only way we're maybe going to get a goal was something special from Tom Kearney, like he did against Leeds United a few seasons ago. Maybe he needed that level of quality, but it was a good cross, great header, and suddenly the first thing the Fulham fans trying to, we're top of the league, that was immediately the atmosphere, and it suddenly changed the tone of the stadium. And you know what, I fancied us to go in and win that game.
I thought we were going to go on
and
win
another goal
at that point. Emilio, when he scored, I'm thinking they're going to get all 3 points out of this.
I was really that confident. I thought the 4 minutes of added time wasn't enough. I thought that was quite. I thought they probably needed a good 6 or 7 minutes. And man, the fact that the goalkeeper got a warning, you know, for amount of time wasting and the amount of other time, to give only 4 minutes, I thought was quite light. It favoured Bournemouth, but at the end of the day, you know, I'll take the point. Especially after being goal down, but overall, yeah, I think we shaded it over the 90 minutes. We were the better team.
Absolutely,
we are the better team in this division. We are better than Bournemouth, but you know, the fact that we're only 1 point ahead, maybe we should be slightly ahead of the game than we are. So you know, you've got to give Scott Parker credit for maybe overachieving with this team. I know some of our friends and fans, like Steve Reynolds, says hates us applauding Scott Parker, but you know, you've got to give credit where it's due. You know, so he's got the best out of this team, and they're still only 1 point behind us.
They are, Emilio, and I'll give credit to Scott Parker, but I'm sorry, the way the media treats him with kid gloves, as we would say,
I can imagine.
It's just crazy. They love Scott Parker, and I just basically say, call both ways. How about some love for Marco Silva, the job he's done? Just call both ways. That's all I would look at that. Okay. To finish up, I'm going to ask Emilio how valuable this point is, and we'll end with man of the match. Okay, Emilio, I hope you don't get arrested or anything like that.
I'm not getting arrested, by the way. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong here, but then I'm not curb crawling, if that's what people
okay.
think I'm doing.
Okay, so we're going to finish up with man of the match. Before we do this, I want to talk about how valuable this point is. Like I said, I'm go back to the conversation we had with Rob Wilson, Fulham legend, last night. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Rob said a draw would be a good result, mattering on how it happened, basically.
Yeah.
And I think the way it happened, the way that Fulham came back, because I wanted to see if they could come back. Yes, they did not win, but they came back. They came back against a quality opponent. And I believe this is an extremely valuable point that they can use. On the flip side, Emilio, and I don't know how my friends, you know, I'll call them my friends because I've got to know a few Bournemouth supporters. How do you think they feel about this? Because now they dropped points against Coventry City. They got a draw against us coming off of the situation with Derby County. Are they feeling good about themselves? Are they feeling good about Parker Ball? Because they got another dose of Parker Ball in the end. It worked really well, but they were holding on like we have seen too many times. How do you think they feel after this match? I'm curious. How do you think Bournemouth, the supporters, how do you think they feel? Do you think that they feel, wow, you know, we got a point? Or do you think that they might think of, wait a minute, this continues to happen?
Yeah, I think they'll take the point as well away from home. You know, I think they're obviously on balance of play. You know, we had many more shots on goal than they did.
Yep, I'll go through the stats in a second.
So overall, I think I'll tell you, their fans were applauding Scott Parker throughout the game, you know, especially when they scored the goal. I can't remember Fulham fans calling out Scott Parker, you know, game after game and giving him all the chants and cheers and what have you. But the Bournemouth fans were applauding Scott Parker, and they had their own, you know, I wasn't listening, but they had their own song that they were cheering when they went 1-0 up. So
right.
Sounds like there was a strong contingent of Bournemouth fans in the crowd today who were, you know, pleased to have Scott Parker on board. And many of us were saying, look, you can have him. He's yours. Take him away from us. You know? So it's overall, I think from our perspective,
yeah,
I think I raised a point last night about the psychological impact of losing, or, you know, and I think psychologically, I think it's done no damage. I think the fact that we've recovered from a goal down against the team that's closest to us in the league, we
see, that's what I wanted to talk about, psychological part of this.
I think both teams, I think it will not affect either team. I think they'll both take the point given the circumstances. We shaded it. I think we clearly are the better team, you know, so whether we can sustain that for the remainder of the season remains to be seen. Yep. But overall, I don't think it's done any damage to either team. I think they'll both take one game closer to the Premier League, 1 point on the board. And psychologically, I think it would have been more damaging if we'd lost that game with all those chances created and not being able to convert. That would have been potentially damaging. But the fact that we've recovered, I think we'll go into the next game against Luton Town with confidence.
And they should, Emilio. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about it. I thought to myself, if they could get away just even to get a draw out of this, this is going to psychologically going to benefit Fulham.
Mm.
It's going to benefit. I think it. You know, you think it's neutral where it might not hurt them, might not help them. I actually think it might help them. I do. I actually think this might help them. I'm going to share some comments, Emilio. Before I get your man of the match, I'm going to share some comments from everyone here. This is from Colin Fraser. I'm sharing a lot of comments from Colin. We are the better side. They were scared of us. Parker set his team up to kick us. Well, I'm not going to disagree with that because I think we saw that. Okay, yeah. So here's some comments for man of the match. You're going to see a lot of this, man. Cabano.
Yeah.
Cabano.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what else we got. Am I right in saying that Bournemouth was missing players as well?
Yeah, they had a couple of players missing as well,
Yep, no, they were. See, Cabano, it just keeps going.
But they nullified that threat. So Parker saw that problem in the first half and nullified. Cabano clearly not as effective second half.
No.
In that first half, he was outstanding. And
he was outstanding.
You know, but second half they closed him down, so he had less space, less opportunity, and maybe wasn't as effective. Overall, you know, he's my man of the match. Just purely
that's where
most of our threat was coming from, to be honest.
Okay, and our friend Anthea, all the way in New Zealand. How you doing, Anthea? Man of the match, Cabano, for shots on target and some fabulous touches, skill.
Yeah,
you are right. You know, it's funny. You know, I wonder what Scott Parker was thinking watching Niskanen's Cabano because he had to game plan against him, like you said. He had to adjust in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. And some of the other call-outs for me, I think I've mentioned Dennis Odoi. I thought Dennis had a good defensively, but had a good game.
Yep.
You know, he looked good. He looked hungry. Did very little wrong.
It's all Cabano. It's all Cabano.
Harrison Reed, I'm not his biggest fan, as you know, but I thought he had a good game as well. I thought he looked livelier today. Yep. He played better than he did against Derby County. So a call-out to Harrison Reed for, you know, looking lively, energetic, and sort of the type of play that we used to seeing.
Yep. This is from our friend Dave Conan. No real man of the match for me. All played pretty well. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that, Dave. And this is a great comment, Colm. I agree with this. At least we scored after being behind.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I wanted to see the response. I'm thinking to myself, they got kicked in the teeth. Can they respond? Emilio, yeah, exactly. I thought they responded, okay?
Yeah,
I thought exactly. they responded. And that, to me, when we go back to your comment about the psychological ramifications, I think that's why I feel this is a positive more than anything else, because they took that kick in the teeth and they came out the other side. They only got a point, but they didn't lose. I thought it was important to come out of this match with a point. Okay, great stuff, Emilio. Look at all the comments. We got so many comments. So many comments. And listen, I want to say this one more time. And I actually had a great time talking to Sam Davis from Back in the Net. His team does a great job. And I have nothing against the Bournemouth supporters. I think they're just supporting their team, just like we're supporting Fulham. And I wish them the best the rest of the season. And I think there's a good chance it's going to be the two of us back in the Premier League. But you know what, Emilio? I'm not going to be too despondent over a 1-1 draw, because I saw something out of Fulham that I wanted to see. I wanted to see a fight back. Emilio, we saw that.
Yeah, we saw that. You know, there's no alarm bells ringing for me. You know, still too early for that. But, you know, three games, three draws, two goals. You know, the goals have dried up a little bit. You know, you could argue the virus affected the Derby game and, you know, to some extent, the Preston game, but, you know, not to worry yet. You know, the players are coming back from injury. We're back. The players are recovering from the virus. You know, we've not played necessarily well for three games, but we've not lost either of them. So that's a positive. But, you know, just the goals have slightly dried up. So we just need to regroup. We've got a week to regroup for the Luton game. We'll come back stronger, hopefully pick up 3 points, and then we get back to winning ways. But we're still unbeaten in what? Unbeaten in 10 games. So it's proud record, right? So it was more important not to lose and the man of the performance. Both of them, we didn't lose, and we played reasonably well against a very rock solid defense. So
that's right.
Overall,
there are some positives
there tonight.
I totally agree, Emilio. One last thing that I want to ask you about, because again, on the broadcast I watched, when Parker's team, Bournemouth, were ahead and it was getting later and later in the match, and this is when you and I were talking about, in the 60th minute, I thought they should have made this double substitution, which they made about 10 minutes later. They kept asking the question, does Marco Silva have a plan B? I think he showed he has a plan B. In fact, I think I've seen a plan B from him more than a few times. I can't say that about Scott Parker. So I'm not trying to make a dig at it. I'm trying to say, when I'm listening to these comments, I'm thinking, he's already shown to me that he can come up with something else. He did.
And Scott Parker's still the media darling, right? So he can't do no wrong.
Whatever.
Right? Whatever he does, he can't do no wrong. So
He can do no wrong.
But at the end of the day,
he dresses so nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I saw a few pats on the back there with some of the players as well. So I was focusing at the end of the game. You know, him and Mitrovic had a brief, hug.
Yeah.
Tim Ream had a brief hug. He hugged Joe Bryan a lot more than he did some of the other players. So again, you can see there wasn't that. You know, when some former managers come back as an opposing manager to your team, or a former player comes in, there's a lot more hugs, there's a lot more chat.
Right.
I only noted Scott Parker and Tom Kearney having the longest chat after the game. The rest was just a brief hug here and a brief hug there. Yeah. So maybe there's no love lost between the players and Scott Parker, to be honest. I think that's history now. We've moved on and we've got better things to look forward to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I'm just going to share this comment from Chris Goodwin's. Scotty P only ever had one plan. That was his downfall. And you know what? Chris, you're right.
You know, I don't wish the man bad. You know, then they.
No, neither do I.
You know, I think the old fans are a little bit, but, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't enjoy watching the football he played. You know, he's got a particular style. You know, let Bournemouth appreciate him maybe more than we did. So, at the end of the day, we have to move on. But let's not forget, he did get us promoted.
Okay. You were there. So, I didn't see this.
I've got a picture. I've got to see if I've got the picture. I took some photographs. I think I've got a picture where I think I caught them hugging, but very brief. It was a brief moment. Him, Tim Ream, brief hugs. It was Tom Kearney had the biggest chat, a few moments of chat with Parker and and Tom, and then with Joe Bryan. But I saw the other players. It was very, very brief.
Yeah.
You know, then there was no booze in the ground. So
okay.
So it's, you know, the fans did the right thing. You know, we just need to move on, right?
We need to move on. I agree with you. And we need to actually end this show because the Fulham shadow needs to get home.
And the other thing as well, just to put on, talking about Mitrovic.
Yep.
Again, credit to the defence, their defence. You know, he was snuffed out mostly. He had one header, one I think it was a Seri cross when, you know, and then Mitrovic just headed over in the second half. But other than that, Mitrovic didn't have much to do. You know, he wasn't given, you know, give Gary Cahill the credit he deserves.
Yeah.
I think he gave Mitrovic very few opportunities and snuffed him out the most of the game.
Okay, I'm going to just share this one comment because we're talking about Mitro. Russ Emilio, would you guys play Muniz with Mitro for Luton for a more scoring threat to not rely on Mitro so much?
No, not yet. No, I think I'd keep to our tried and tested system. That's created. We've scored enough goals from, you know, our current approach for the season. So I wouldn't change that. I'm not sure I'd play Muniz yet with Mitrovic.
Okay,
we've got enough quality in some of the other players, offensive players. So no, I wouldn't.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, listen, everyone watching live and commenting, thank you for commenting and being a part of this. And Emilio, win, lose, or draw, me and you after the match, we're here. Not like some other podcasts that I've listened to that might not show up for a couple of weeks, but you and I are here.
Look, we're here. Look, you know, it's actually not that cold tonight. So look, everyone's gone home. I've got my car tonight. So it's
okay.
That's the beauty of it. Look, you know, a few moments away outside of Craven Cottage, commenting straight after the game. I haven't got the luxury of watching replays, so yeah, I can only comment on what I saw live on the pitch. So good atmosphere in the ground, a sellout.
Good.
And, it felt like a Premier League game, weirdly. You know,
okay.
Just felt like a bottom six Premier League game. Lot to play for. It had that type of atmosphere. So it was good to be there.
Nothing wrong with that, my friend.
Before we
go, I have to share this with someone that you know.
Who's that?
That would be Callie. Fulham Shadow.
Yeah. Fulham Shadow will be home soon.
Okay. I had to share that. Sorry. All right. Well, listen, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk. Emilio, thank you so much for doing this.
No, you're welcome. Enjoyed it. And yeah, as we say, we're still top of the league, guys. Top of the league.
Still top of the league.
Come on, Fulham.
All right. Excellent. Well, again, like I mentioned, we're going to wrap this up. For Emilio Donnello, the Foam Shadow, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.